Morning, 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 morning. Can I have everybody stand up? How's everybody doing today? Anybody not doing good today? Raise your hand, raise your hand. If you're not doing good today, we're going to pray for you. This is the place to be. Amen, amen. I want to welcome all the campuses. God bless you. I'm Miles, Pastor of the Rock. Welcome to church. Merry Christmas. Everyone say Merry Christmas. Tomorrow we will have a worship night, a night of worship. We're going to have kids on stage. We're going to worship. Very short message, but mostly worship tomorrow night. 4:30, we'll have snow here. If you want to come, all the campuses are welcome. And then 7 o'clock, we'll have a service. Christmas Eve on Tuesday, we're going to have a 4 o'clock and a 6 o'clock service, which is different than tomorrow and different from today. So you want to check all that out. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's all lift our hands up. Lord, I just lift up the people who are struggling right now. I pray you encourage them. I pray that even right now, you would just affirm in their heart that you see them. You know what they're going through. You love them. And you have a plan. So I pray they would just trust you and release all their burdens to you because you care for them and they would receive your burden because it's easy and light. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would be a light to our family this Christmas season, that we remember who we represent. We represent the Savior who died and rose from the dead for our sin. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a high five. Give someone a big hug. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. I went to college 1978 to 1982, and after my senior year, I went to University of New Haven in Connecticut. It was a Division III school, Division II my last year, and I was trying to go to the NFL, and we weren't on the NFL map. We weren't a big school, but my coach had sent out flyers to all these teams all throughout the season to come, you know, hey, check this guy out. We didn't have internet like y'all have today, so it was all by mail and things called as paper. This is like my paper. Literally flyers. Make a long story short, these about scouts from about 5 teams came to my campus after the season was over. They never came and saw me play, but they came, watched film, and then they took me out into the field and ran me around and tested me, you know, speed and agility and how I could jump and all this stuff. And at the time, the NFL Combine didn't exist, which right now all the top players go to Indianapolis and they test them in person. Well, when I was in college, one, I wouldn't have been invited anyway because I was a very small school and I wasn't on that level. But they had information because they had little local things. And after I finished my testing, I said, so, you know, what next? And they said, based on all the information, everyone say information. Based on all the information that we have from other teams and other players, your times and speeds are pretty comparable to all these other guys, so we may pick you. And I was like, you know, of course, on cloud nine. And so for many, many months, I was stressed and worried about this man making a decision to draft me into the NFL based on information and facts. A lot of times in our life, we have this pressure that this person or this circumstance is going to determine my future. And we stress over it. And it, whether it be now during holiday or whatever, you're getting a new job or you're going to go out with somebody, you're going to get a raise, or you're going to, you know, try to have some opportunity open up to you. You feel like it's in a person's hand. Well, when this guy told me, basically, your future is bright, is what he said. Say your future is bright. Basically, what he was saying was there's hope that you may get picked and come to the NFL. And I did. I got drafted, and that was great. But really, it wasn't about the man. It was about God. You have to understand your future, every single one of you. And I don't know 99% of you personally in your business, and I don't need to know your business. And I don't need to know your problems. And I don't need to know your burdens to be able to say this confidently, that it's not really about what you know. It's about who you know. And really, God has a plan for your life. And me coming to San Diego, I got drafted over Los Angeles Rams from a very small school in Connecticut, got cut, and then came here. That is a total God thing. God has a plan for your life. And the reason that you have hope in your life, is not because of your intelligence. It's not because of your good looks. It's not because of your height, your ethnicity. It's not because of the drama you've been through. And you know, I know better. I've been toughened by my life. All that stuff is a factor. But really, what gives you hope is God. We've in this series called Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. We've been in this series shaped and modeled after the song Silent Night. The first day was Silent Night. The second week was Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, which was last week. And today is All is Bright. I want to talk to y'all who are struggling right now. All is bright, I'm telling you. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And you may, amen, come on. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And all is bright. And if you take the word bright, your future is bright. Your future is hopeful. There is reason for you to have hope. One of the ways you can even prove that to yourself before I even say anything is look in your past and how many times God has got you through. When David killed Goliath, they said, David, you can't fight Goliath because you're nothing but a little kid. And he was a little kid, and Goliath was a grown man, 9 foot 9 inch tall. And David said, in the past, God delivered me from the paw of a lion. And in the past, God delivered me from the paw of a bear. And in the future, God's going to deliver me from that fool right there. And so you amen, come on. All y'all got lions in the past. Can I get amen? All y'all got bears in the past. Can I get amen? You may be brokenhearted now, but God got you through that last breakup. Okay, now you shouldn't have dated another knucklehead like the last knucklehead, but that's okay. But God is going to get you through. And so in this little short story we're going to look at, some of y'all are just getting that, right? Y'all see, I was just getting that. When I asked you in the very beginning of the service during the offering time, what is God doing in your life? You need to learn from your own life. You need to learn from your own life. And if all you did for the rest of your life was look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, how can we get better? You'd have a very fruitful life. Because at the end of the day, we make decisions that get us in trouble. And God comes and swoops in when we cry out. He can't save us, but then we do it again. And I'm telling you from experience, because none of us are perfect. But he's always there for us. In this story, Joseph and Mary are engaged, and they had never physically been together. Figure that. By the way, that's God's plan, by the way. I know our culture has accepted sex as like, yeah, just go with you know, but sex was never meant to hurt people. It wasn't meant to give you disease. It wasn't meant to bring death. It wasn't meant to put you in jail. It wasn't meant to jack up your psyche for the rest of your life. It was meant as a pleasurable two people becoming one, symbolic of the union we have with God, and the devil messes it up. So Joseph and Mary, they were engaged, they hadn't been together, and all of a sudden she's pregnant. Oh, snap. When I was a youth pastor, I had a young girl in my church. This was, gosh, 39 years ago. We had a Bible study at my house in Rancho Penasquitos with 9 nationalities. And this girl came, and she was in high school, obviously, and she says, I'm pregnant. I said, really? She says, I don't know what happened. I said, I do. For sure, I know what happened. How do you not know what happened? It was like, you know, so here's Mary, and she's going to say, I don't know what happened. I haven't been with anybody. But in this instance, it was real. She didn't know what happened. And then the angel's going to come and talk to Joseph. We're going to talk about 3 things. Again, for all y'all who are struggling, I want you to imagine you're in a culture where this did not happen. You're in a culture where you got engaged and you didn't mess around until you got married, and it was very sacred, and it still is sacred. And then all of a sudden, this guy, his engaged-to-be wife is pregnant, and he has to figure out what he's going to do, not only to save his face, but to honor her, because he wants to protect her. And so for all of you in here who are struggling with something, matter of fact, how many of y'all got some drama going on in your life in any form or fashion? Okay, God says, I got you. I got you. And you have to trust in God, not people, not organizations. And by the way, some of the people you're trusting in, God will sabotage that so you won't trust in them. And it won't even be them. It's just going to be saying, God, I want you to stop trusting these people. I want you to trust me because what I have is way bigger and more powerful than what they have. Amen? Amen? So number one, all is bright in trusting God's power. When you trust in God's power, not man's power, and not man's weakness, not your weakness, not man's intelligence, not man's ignorance, when you trust in God's power, the skies open up. Everything's possible. Look what it says, Matthew 1, verse 18. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, everyone say, before they came together. I'm just going to take a real quick tangent on my message right here and just talk about this for 1 minute. I wonder how many of y'all are dating right now. You're sleeping together, living together, and you say, you know what? I'm going to honor God and stop sleeping together.
Oh, he's not saying that. Close your ears, honey. Close your ears.
We got to honor God. It says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Joseph, her husband, being a just, godly man, not wanting to make her a public example and to protect her honor, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God is working something in your life that's way bigger than you. In science, there's a study called cosmology. Cosmology is the study of the cosmos, the universe. And scientists have, you know, they're like, where did the universe come from? How did it start? How is it going to end? What are the properties of the universe? And in cosmology, there is a theory, it's not even a theory, it's really a fact, but it's a scientific fact, that if something had a beginning, it had to have a beginner. And most scientists, and even atheist scientists, will tell you they believe that the universe had a beginning. They call it the Big Bang. Now, there's a lot of other details about the Big Bang we're not going to get into right now, but they believe that there was a time when there was no time. And there was a time when the universe began. Okay? They also believe that if something that began had a beginner, that it must have a cause, a purpose. It's called the principle of sufficient reason. That if you exist, or this podium exists, or this building exists, science will say, philosophy will say that it exists for a reason, that nothing exists for no reason. Okay? There's also another discipline called a teleological argument that says if something exists and it has a reason, that reason must be consistent with its design. So when you think about you had a beginning. You can never be beginningless. Something began you, something designed you, and something gave you a reason to exist. All of us, these principles apply to everything in the universe. So as these scientists study all this and they have all these theories, they come up with these theories that, which by the way, always lead back to God. The Bible says that that the visible attributes of God, his intelligence, his power, his glory, are clearly seen in the things that were made, heavens and the earth. And so these scientists, going back to cosmology, when they look at the universe, they say that there was a point in time, everyone say time, when the universe began, the universe being matter and space. And so time, space, and matter all had to start at the same time. So think about this. Scientists will say there was a moment when time, space, and matter all began at the same time. You couldn't have one without the other. You can't have matter without the space to put it in. You can't have it begin unless there was a time when it began. And then you can't have matter. Then you have matter, the thing that actually began. So there was a time when space, time, and matter all came about. Now, the scientists will tell you that if something began, it had to have a beginning, beginner, a first cause. Nothing causes itself. Everyone say nothing causes itself. Your purpose didn't cause itself. You didn't cause yourself. Your pain didn't cause itself. There's always a first cause. Everyone say first cause. I'm going to do a whole series on all this kind of stuff, which is fascinating to me. But why am I saying all this? Is that I want to read what I read again, and I want to talk about the first cause, because Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God, beginning is time. Say beginning. Oh, snap. In the beginning, first verse of the Bible, God says, I am that first cause. Matter of fact, science proves God. Because what they said was something powerful, timeless, spaceless, had to cause what we have in the universe. And that thing is God. It's amazing. It led them right back to God. I'm going to read something to you, which is Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, why is this important? Because whatever you're going through right now, God has your solution. He's the beginning of your solution. He's the beginning of your response to your problem. He's the beginning of the wisdom to your problem. And by the way, did he cause the problem? No, because we decide, when I say we, sinners who reject God bring death into the world. When Adam and Eve were created, God said, you will live forever as long as you obey me. But if you don't obey me, stuff happens. When we do stuff that God doesn't want us to do, all hell breaks loose. And God says, you know what though? I am going to still be here for you. I'm gonna be supporting you. I'm gonna be the beginning of your solution. I'm gonna be the beginning of your solution. I'm gonna be the beginning of your way out. And I, not the circumstances, because in the science world, there are certain people who believe in that everything was physical, that there was no supernatural being. But yet before there was time, before there was a matter, before there was space, that stuff didn't exist. It had to be something that was timeless, supernaturally powerful, intelligent, creative, who created you and created me. I want to read this again to you one more time. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. Reveal to me my hope. Show me the answer to my problems. You don't have to repeat this, but you don't have to solve your problem. What you need to do is understand what God has for your life and walk with God. Can I get amen? Number two, all is bright in knowing God's prediction. All is bright in knowing God's prediction. You can be hopeful if you know what God has already decided in advance about you. Look what it says. And this is the Holy Spirit. The angel to Joseph. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This was already predetermined. This was already predetermined that God was going to become man in Jesus Christ, die on the cross, rise from the dead, and save us from our sins. And then it says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was predetermined, spoken through the Lord, the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. All throughout the Old Testament, God had already predicted that Jesus was going to come down, be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, ride in on a colt to be announced as the son of David, the king. Zechariah 9:9, die on the cross, and the things that he was saying on the cross, the Psalms tell us. All throughout the Old Testament, it has been predicted that Jesus is going to come down. So when the angel was talking to Joseph, he said, Joseph, this has already been predetermined. Right? We knew you were going to be the dad, and Mary was going to be the mom. We knew you were going to be in this circumstance. God is working something out in your life. Now I would tell all of you, God is working something out in all your lives. He's not responsible for your mistakes. But he can offer you hope through your mistakes. And God is saying, I have something bigger than you that before the foundations of the earth, I already knew was going to happen. Let me distinguish something. There's a difference between God knowing everything and God causing everything. God does not cause us to sin, but he knows you're going to do it, and he gives you free will. He didn't make us robots. We're not AI bots, robots. We are free will humans that we can make a decision. Now, we can make a decision to reject God, or we can make a decision to accept God. And so just because God knows you're going to do it doesn't mean he's making you going to do it, because he's not making you do it. But God has a plan, and he's gifted every single one of you for something very specific. And in his love for you, he will allow you to make a decision even to destroy your life, and it breaks his heart. I have 3 kids. I have 2 grandkids. I can't control my kids. I have a responsibility to them, but I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for what I do, but I'm not responsible for them. So the same with all of us. God says, I love all of you, and I love you so much that if you tell me to leave you alone, I'll leave you alone. But I'm going to send loud preachers from New York, wherever, to try to plead with you to trust me because I love you so much and I do have a plan. But what the devil wants us to do is distracted on all the facts, all the information, and all the things other people do and say, well, that's the totality of what I have to go on as far as information to give me hope. And I'm telling you there's something way above that there's God. And that God has a plan and wisdom and resources better than anything you could ever ask or imagine, but you have to tap into him on a spiritual level. You have to say, Lord, show me. Everyone say, Lord, show me. You want God to show you what your purpose is. And I'm going to tell you that not only was there prophecies about Jesus, there's words spoken over your life. The Bible tells in Revelation that when you die, you're going to get a white stone. It's symbolic of something where you're going to have a name on it, and it ain't going to be a name on your birth certificate. It's going to be a name that's consistent with your design and your purpose. And I'm going to tell you that every single one of you, there are people in your life that see stuff in you and they wonder why you're doing this and not this. They wonder why you're scared of this when you have this talent. There's people in your life that could speak life into you right now and they're thinking about you when they watch you. These are people in your life every day that if you said to some of your friends, hey, ask me, tell me, what do you see as a talent of mine? Now, let me tell you, be careful when you do this, even though you should do it. That's not the all and be all, but you're going to learn some things about yourself if you were to ask the people in your life what they see in you. What talent do they see in you? What skill do they see in you? What do you do better than anybody else? What do you do? You don't even know you're doing it so well because it's so natural to you. And those talents are the very things that God has given you, that God wants to use in your life. And the devil's saying, don't look at that. Go look over here. And he's got you doing stuff that makes no sense to your purpose. It makes no sense to why you were created. And if you just spend some time and said, listen, you can write down all the stuff you think, great, do that. Write down all the talents you think you have. Write down the things you like to do. Whenever I talk to people and they say, I don't know what I want to do in my life. If I ever meet people like who, especially in, well, younger than me, whatever that age is, but especially teenagers in 20s, 30s, I go, what do you want to do with your life? And they go, I don't know. I say, okay, so here's my question to you. Tell me, if you were to help people, what would you enjoy doing? How would you enjoy helping people? And then if you were to help people, not only what would you do, but who would those people be? Like some of us love elderly people. Some of us love kids. Some of us love hurting kids. Some of us love victims of crime. There's all different groups of people that God would put on your heart to go serve, and you would serve them all day and night and not blink. That's what you should be doing. Yet we have jobs that I gotta go to work. Oh my gosh. Don't go to work. Go fulfill your passion. But so you could write that down about yourself, but I would encourage you to ask the people in your life, what do you see in me what talent do you see in me? When I was in high school, my 10th grade class, I had a chemistry class with a guy named Mr. Friedman. And he was cool. He's probably 30-something years old. I was, 16. But he was just cool. Me and him got along great. And I applied to go to MIT, which is Massachusetts Institute of Technology, for a summer program. Anybody ever heard of MIT, by the way? Anybody heard of MIT? Okay. It's like you have the Ivy League schools, and then you got schools like MIT. I don't think it's a technically an Ivy League school, but it's definitely one of the best schools in the country. And it was a summer program. So anyway, he wrote a letter of recommendation. I have that letter still to this day. And I'm going to get all choked up. I remember reading that letter going, you think that? And I literally went to him and said, you believe this? He says, oh, absolutely. There's greatness in every single one of you. And you may not have ever anybody tell you that. I'm telling you that because God does not make junk. And you need to understand what that greatness is. Number 3, all is bright in fulfilling God's purpose. You have to be obedient. After the angel told this to Joseph, it says, Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took to him his wife. And check this out. He did not have sex with her until after the baby was born. Y'all like, oh, man, come on now. Bro. How many of y'all want to do something you've never done? Let me ask that one more time. Elbow above the ear. How many of y'all want to? Okay, let me ask this. How many of y'all just want to have a boring life? It's the same old, and ain't nothing, no exciting. Okay, how many of y'all want to do something you've never done? Okay, guess what? You got to do something you've never done. I want you to get out of your mind what you see online. I want you to get out of your mind, you know, just if I could just make a couple of clips, get some likes, I'm going to be there. Get that out of your head. If you want to do something you've never done, you got to do stuff you've never done. And if God is going to use you, he's got to exorcise out of you selfishness, arrogance, pride. It's all about me. When the Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years enslaved, God delivered them in the Exodus. Moses was leading it. They walked around the wilderness 40 years. And he walked them around until the older generation all died off because they didn't believe him. You know how long the trip really was? 11 days. They could have got to the promised land in 11 days. And he says, I'm going to walk you around. And they walked around for 40 years. And you know what he says? All of y'all generation, you older generation, I'm gonna walk you around till all you die. I need another generation. He had to get Egypt out of them. God needs to get Egypt out of you. Where you gotta start thinking about the old mentality that it's all about me. Where you're saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And what God is gonna call you to do is not gonna be stuff you're gonna read about, you're gonna see online. He's gonna call you to do stuff that he's gonna specifically speak to you. And if you can obey him, look what it says about Joseph. I'm gonna read it again, verse 24, 25. He says, Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, he did exactly what the angel of the Lord commanded. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Everyone on the count of three say, Lord, Lord. One, two, three. Y'all not necessarily going to heaven just because of that. You can say, yeah, I go to the rock. You ain't going to heaven for that. I got baptized. You ain't going to heaven for that. Are you obedient? If anybody plays golf, they will know that golf is a game where God and the devil are right there together. Can I get anybody? It's like madness. And if you go to a golf range and you hit golf balls, which I do all the time, we always ask each other, how's it going? I don't know, man, I don't know. Just ask any golfer, that's all they'll tell you. Because it is so hard and so impossible to be consistent. So I had a golf, and I haven't played hardly ever play, I go to range a lot, but a game scheduled 2 days ago. And I had the time wrong. And then meetings happened and I got caught up in all the stuff here at the church. So I was late. And there are 18 holes in a golf round of golf. This is embarrassing. I showed up when they were on the 16th hole. So I had already told the guy I'm not coming. Because I missed the tee time. It was at 8:15. I was here, and it's in North County. He said, we're teeing off in 15 minutes. I said, I thought you said it was 10 o'clock, but my bad, whatever. And I'm not coming. But I got out of the meeting 2.5, 3 hours later. So I figured, let me just go and, you know, go out there and just hang out for a few minutes. So I get out there, and they were on hole 16. So I said, at least I'm going to get three holes in, 16, 17, 18. You would have thought I never played golf ever before in my life. I was hitting the ball like 3 feet, 4 feet, 10. I was like, what? And they were like, yo, bro, you didn't even warm up. I said, no, I didn't warm up. This is my first swing. You never want to play golf and you don't warm up. Can I get an amen for all you play golf? Okay. So after it was over, and we played three holes, and it was like my first time. I said, they said, hey, let's go eat. I said, nah, man, I got to go to the golf range because I got to exercise that demon. I can't let that stand. So I had to go to the golf range, and I finally got my swing back after about, 20 minutes of warming up. You can't just obey God one time. Think, I got it. You come to church, oh, I went to church, it was great, and I got it. I prayed a prayer. You got to obey God consistently. There's some people pray, dear God, please help me, please help me. That's it. That's it. You cried out to God one time, two times, a month, and the heavens didn't open, and you're off to something else. Sorry, you're not worthy of the blessing. You'll waste it. You got to be consistent, consistent, consistent. This is, I know to some churches, something you go to every now and then, that's not what it is to God. That's not the relationship he wants. My wife and I have been married 40 years. Consistent. He wants that for you in his relationship with you. He wants you trusting him, pursuing him, and that means letting stuff go out there. It means you changing your life. In 2 weeks from today, we're going to start a 21-day fast. And what that means is it doesn't mean you're not going to eat anything for 21 days. We'll give you options. You could do what you want. You could eat. Well, we'll give you a bunch of options, but it's not you're not going to eat for 21 days. However, we're going to go on a 21 days fast. And the 21-day fast is not to not eat. The goal is not to not eat. The goal is to separate yourself from dependence on the world so you can draw closer to God, so God can do something in your life. So here's my challenge to you. The year is going to end in a week. You got about a week left in 2024. It went by like that. I mean, COVID thing was like 4 years ago. Like, life is going like this. Make some decisions this week. You got one of two decisions. You got one of three decisions. I'm going to be worse. I'm going to be more ratchet next year than this year. That's choice number one. I'm not going to ask you how many of y'all want that choice. Choice number two is, whatever. I'm just going to do what I did last year. Okay? Then you'll get what you got this year. Choice number three, I'm going to step it up. I'm going to step it up and everything. Now, God says, it's 100% up to you. I'm here with all of my power and glory and wisdom. And I'll do through you and in you what you couldn't ask or imagine. I just need you. And so 2 weeks from now, we're going to start a 21-day fast. And I want to challenge you, start praying for you. Because the blessings that God has for you, you couldn't imagine it. It's beyond what you could ever think, the Bible says. And no eye has seen, no ears heard, no heart can conceive what God has planned for you in this life and the life to come. And so I want to pray, and I want to challenge you to make that decision. Lord, I want next year to be my best year. And you can say that every year, and that's a great thing to say every year, and keep taking it to the next level. So I'm going to ask all you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, sometimes I feel so inadequate to communicate what you want communicated. I feel 100% inadequate to bring about change in someone's life. The Holy Spirit does that. So, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would move on people's hearts that they would truly look in the mirror, surrender their burdens to you, and realize that all is bright in God's presence. And if they walk in your presence every day, acknowledge your presence every day, submit to your presence every day, the circumstances will not bring them down. The circumstances will not have victory over them. That greater is he who is in us, Jesus, than he who is in the world. I pray as we end this year, one, we come back Monday, tomorrow night, for our worship concert. I pray we come back Tuesday for our Christmas Eve services. But I pray also that we will prepare ourselves for 2025, that we take these next few days to spend some time alone, thinking, surrendering, praying, and aligning our hearts with the heart of God. If we want to do something we've never done, we got to do something we've never done. As you sit in your seat, you realize, you know what? I need to be that person. I need a new start. I want to make a declaration over my life today that I want to be obedient to Jesus. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, you know my story. You know my pain. You know my journey. You know my apprehensions, my doubt. I surrender all that to you. I want to be obedient. I want to walk with you. I want to be blessed by you. I want to be a blessing to you. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I surrender. If you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up really high and I can see you. God bless 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 you. You can put your hands down. Lord, I just pray for all those people that they would now know it's 100% in their hands. Of course, you're involved in their life, but they have to make decisions, and I pray that you empower them. In Jesus' name, amen.